231. That's the average number of apps used by many companies. This leads to a lot of context and tab switching that drains employee focus and costs your company. Grammarly can help. Grammarly's AI works in over 500,000 apps and websites, making it easy for your team to write clearly and on brand without disrupting workflow. Join 70,000 teams who save an average of $5,000 per employee per year using Grammarly. Go to grammarly.com/enterprise to learn more.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at tanger.com.
We'll do it for one final time, and that is bring you the Big 12 football power rankings with the regular season in the books. I'm Pete Mundo. We're Heartland College Sports, and we cover the Big 12, and we appreciate you being here as a part of the show. Welcome in. Can you believe it? It's conference championship week, baby. Oh, my goodness. It is that time of the year, and we are glad you are making Heartland College Sports part of your content as we roll into what is going to be a very unique time of the college football season. We have never seen anything like this with a college football playoff coming up with 12 teams in it. These are very different times. So I will count down the final power rankings from 16 to number one, and we'll get it rolling here with the worst team in the Big 12. And I can't put them at 17, so I've got Oklahoma State at number 16 this week in the Big 12 football power rankings after getting smoked by Colorado, going 0-9 in conference play. It was a horrific, forgettable season for Oklahoma State and Mike Gundy, and the Cowboys come in at number 16 in the power rankings. At number 15, Arizona, a stinker for them against Arizona State. They wrap up a disappointing season. They say Brent Brennan's coming back. That's a major mistake, but it is what it is when you're going cheap, which Arizona clearly is right now. At number 14, I've got UCF down from 13 after they lost to Utah in the final game of the regular season. So they are number 14 this week. And listen, it's in large part also because I'm moving Utah up by one to number 13. And why the heck not? They played each other. It was an ugly game. Somebody had to win it. Utah did. I flip Utah and UCF. I've got Utah at 13, UCF at 14. At number 12, I'm keeping Cincinnati. They lose to TCU. They lose five straight games to wrap up the season. They played good football teams, and they lost. That's how it was going to go down the stretch for Cincinnati. I leave them at number 12. And then I go to number 11. West Virginia falls to number 11, down from number 10, one spot. Not a big deal, but with the way this team finished up the season, I can't justify putting them where they were at number 10. Neil Brown got fired. I will talk about that as well coming up. But all in all, West Virginia had to fall after the way they got smoked by Texas Tech 52-15. At number 10, I've got Houston. I moved them up a slot because West Virginia deserved to move down. They lost to BYU, but they showed some fight. Dumb special teams. Game could have been different, but I'm moving Houston up one slot. Number 9 is TCU. They stay where they were last week. They beat Cincinnati, and they quietly put together a nice 8-win season. At number 8, BYU comes in the 8 slot this week after their win over Houston. And, of course, not able to get to the Big 12 championship, but closing a very impressive 10-2 season on a high note and snapping that 2-game winning streak and or losing streak and still looking at a great bowl game for BYU. And if you're just rolling in on the radio show, if you're on YouTube, hit the thumbs up. On the podcast, make sure you are subscribed wherever you consume this content at Heartland College Sports. Next up in the power rankings, I have got Texas Tech at number 7, thrashing West Virginia also finishing with an impressive 8-win season, 6-3 in the Big 12, one game back of first place, and Tech is 7th. K-State lost, but I'm putting them at 6th this week. That is where they were last week. Farmageddon's a brutal game to play in, a very difficult road trip, and they were in it till the very end. They were. Now, some people are talking about how Iowa State had 12 guys on the field on one of those blocked field goal attempts. That's not the reason they lost the game. A tough stretch for K-State, losing 3 of 4 to close out the season. But as I told you on Sunday in our reaction show, which is why you should be subscribed to the channel if you're not, K-State is the only team. When you compare K-State to the teams that finished 7-2, K-State's the only one who played all four of the teams that finished 7-2 in the Big 12. They played Iowa State, Arizona State, BYU, and Colorado. And they lost 3, and they won 1. So that's just a bad luck of the draw. Nobody would have guessed that because none of these teams were really thought to be near the top of the Big 12. Maybe Iowa State, but that was about it. And it turned out those were the four best teams. And K-State had to play all of them. That's the thing with the now 16-team conference schedules or 16-team conferences, 9-game conference schedules. You really don't know how tough your schedule is going to be until you get well into the season. So I kept K-State at number 6. At number 5, KU, down from number 1 last week. And I thought they'd run out of steam. It's one of the reasons I picked Baylor plus 1.5. My Big 12 picks against the spread went 3-0 to wrap up the season. I gave you Baylor plus the 1.5. I gave you Houston plus 13. And the last pick I gave you on Saturday was TCU minus 3.5. So I hit them all. We had a good way to close out the season. KU falls to number 5, just running out of steam and missing out on that bowl game. At number 4, keeping Colorado where they were after they just demolished an awful Oklahoma State team to finish up 9-3. At number 3, Iowa State. They bump up 2 spots from number 5. I move them ahead of Colorado. A win over K-State is a very solid victory for Iowa State in Farmageddon. So Iowa State is number 3 in the power rankings. At number 2, moving up one spot is Baylor. Don't look now, but Baylor's the hottest team in college football nobody's talking about. Baylor is playing some of the best football. They would be the most dangerous team, frankly, in a college football playoff for the Big 12 right now. But, of course, they're not going to get to a college football playoff. But they're 8-4 overall. They're 6-3. And they close the season with a 6-game winning streak, something nobody else can say in this conference. And boy, they beat a very good Kansas team by 28 points on Saturday. Baylor moves up from 3-2. And at number 1, Arizona State up from 2-1, demolishing Arizona. Kenny Dillingham has this thing humming. They're going to a Big 12 championship. Arizona State comes in at number 1 in the Big 12 football power rankings this week. I get it, Zach. I understand Iowa State beat Baylor. But right now, who are you taking in a game between Baylor and Iowa State? I get it, but that's a different Baylor team a very long time ago. You know that, and I know that. So I understand it. But right now, this is a different Baylor team than the one that we saw during that 3-game losing streak against Colorado, BYU, and Iowa State. By that same justification, what am I going to do? Am I going to also do something like put Baylor behind BYU and Colorado because they beat them head-to-head a lifetime ago? I mean, they just beat a Kansas team that beat Iowa State. So, listen, it's a mess in the Big 12. It's a topsy-turvy conference. But they just beat a Kansas team by 28 that Iowa State lost to, what, a couple of weeks ago? 3-4 weeks ago? So I just think Baylor's playing some of the best football in this conference right now. But in the end, frankly, if you're an Iowa State fan, please don't lose any sleep over the power rankings. You're going to the Big 12 championship game. You're playing for a college football playoff. Screw me and my power rankings. I say that with all the love, of course, tongue in cheek, but you guys got a lot more on your plate. Let Baylor enjoy being number two in the power rankings. All right? That's what you've got, what ultimately matters here. This is just to have some fun with you on the show.
An O'Reilly Auto Parts gift card is the perfect gift for that hard-to-buy-for person. Give the gift of convenience from O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
How do you feel when you switch to GEICO and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, "Happy Friday!" Then you check your phone quickly and discover today's actually Friday. So yes, happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with GEICO feels just like that. Get more with GEICO.
I'm Pete Mundo. We are Heartland College Sports. We appreciate you joining us here on the show. So Arizona took the easy and the cheap way out. Arizona elected to keep Brent Brennan. And I couldn't believe that the decision came down after what the Arizona AD called an unacceptable first season. And it was an unacceptable first season. But then I saw this statement from the Arizona AD, and it read as follows: that Coach Brennan deserves a fair chance to be successful. So yes, he's coming back next year. Our fans are not happy with how the season went, and neither are we. That goes for our student-athletes. That goes for Coach Brennan and his staff and everybody. That's a part of the football program. He deserves a fair chance. He had arguably the best quarterback wide receiver duo in the entire Big 12. Now, I know a wide receiver doesn't make a football team, but a quarterback does. Noah Fifita had a great year last year. He returned a guy who's going to be a top 10 pick in the NFL draft in McMillan. I know that's not everything. We know the offensive line was a mess. The defense was a disaster. But he had to come in a transfer portal era and make things work and make them work quickly. And he failed to do it. And not only did he fail to do it, it was an embarrassing season. Look what's going on at Indiana. They've got a first-year head coach, and they're talking about the college football playoff. I'm not saying Arizona's got to be talking about any kind of college football playoff appearances, but my goodness, you went 2-7 and 4-8. I know you maybe don't want to dish out what is expected to be north of $10 million on a buyout, but Arizona embarrassed itself under Brent Brennan this season. That was a pathetic display of football. They lose 7 of 8 to close the season, and some of these games weren't all that close. They lose to BYU by 22, Colorado by 27. They lost to UCF by 44 points. UCF stinks. They lost to TCU by 21, and then their in-state rival, who is going to a conference championship game in their first season in the Big 12, their conference rival blows them out by 42 on their home turf. And I've got to listen to the AD say, "It's disappointing, it's unacceptable, but come on back, come on down, give him a fair chance." No. Brent Brennan walked into a dream situation. He walked into a situation with a team that largely, at least when it came to some of the bigger players, wanted to come back, gave him a chance. Wanted to play in the Big 12. Wanted to play for Arizona. Didn't want to follow Jed Fish to Washington. And what ends up happening? They go 2-7 in the Big 12. A Big 12 that was as unpredictable as any conference in the country. More unpredictable than any conference in the country. It's not like they were playing, you know, the best of the best. From the standpoint of the top in the Big 12. Yeah, they drew BYU and Colorado and Arizona State, and that certainly is tough, but they avoided some of the other very good teams in the Big 12. And it didn't really matter. They lost to basically all of them, outside of Houston and Utah. That's it. and you think about what this team did last year under Jed Fish, winning 10 games. I mean, heck, beating Oklahoma in a bowl game last year. And now this is how it goes? 1 year later? And the answer from the AD is, Coach Brennan deserves a fair chance to be successful. Are you kidding me? Arizona is about to get run around by Arizona State. Kenny Dillingham is not holding back. He is dead serious about turning that program into a year-in, year-out contender in the Big 12. And Arizona, here's the other thing. Arizona in a wide-open Big 12 conference could find itself as a consistent bottom feeder, and this could set the program back easily half a decade. The good news is it's kind of easy to turn things around if you hit the right transfers and recruit well and have a good NIL fund. But you look around the Big 12 right now, and who do you feel like is going to be a consistent bottom feeder in this conference? A lot of it might be based around schedule and some luck and bounces here and there, but I don't think Oklahoma State's going to go 0-9 again next year. I don't think Oklahoma State's going to be a bottom feeder. I'm not convinced, unless Mike Gundy makes the right moves, they'll be at the top of the conference every year, but they're not going to be at the basement every year. UCF, tremendous talent, fertile recruiting. We'll see what they do at head coach. Utah's not going to be down there forever. I think Willie Fritz will make good moves with Houston. Cincinnati might be the other team I look at and say, are they a potential bottom feeder in the Big 12 consistently? West Virginia needs a head coach, and I wouldn't put anybody else on that list right now. So it's literally Arizona, UCF, and Cincinnati are the teams that I look at and say, well, if things don't go well, they might be consistent bottom feeders in the Big 12 conference. And Arizona and Cincinnati probably are the two at the very bottom right now. So I know money matters. I know it's a weird time right now in college sports. You got a nickel and dime where you can, but Arizona made a huge mistake sticking with Brent Brennan. And I'm happy to see him prove people wrong. I'm never rooting for someone to lose their job. I'm just saying he showed nothing to me in what was not a rebuild. Like, Willie Fritz had a rebuild at Houston. Brent Brennan kind of had like a plug and play. Of course, we knew they had some weaknesses, but you had arguably the best wide receiver quarterback combo in the conference, and you went 2-7. And you got blown out in some of these games. Not even close. Not like they lost a bunch of one-score games. Got just your doors blown off in some of these games. So that was surprising to me on Sunday. Meantime, in the Big 12 Conference, I'm Pete Mundo. Heartland College Sports is where you find us. Hit that thumbs up. We appreciate you being here on the video. Of course, subscribe to the channel as well. Thanks for joining us as always. Neil Brown gets fired on Sunday, and I am in no way surprised by this. You want to talk about somebody who was just at his wit's end, or at least the fan base was at their wit's end with him? It was Neil Brown. Now, I interviewed Neil Brown for this show in the offseason, and Neil Brown is a guy that you really want to see win. Neil Brown is a guy that you want to root for. I rooted for Neil Brown, not because I talked to him or interviewed him, but because you follow the team for six seasons and you want to see a guy, you want to see a good guy do well. And for all the criticism of Neil Brown as a coach, no one ever said he was a bad guy. I didn't hear that anywhere from anybody at any point. And that's why you hate to see it. But at the same time, Neil Brown had been consistently mediocre. And there were two things that may have ultimately sealed his fate. And I don't know this to be fact right now, but I will have this conversation with you. The way they lost on Saturday to Texas Tech, 52-15, that was a team that quit. That was a completely unacceptable performance from West Virginia. And then when Cincinnati lost to TCU, what did that mean? It meant that West Virginia only won games over teams that did not become bowl eligible. Basically, they beat the bad teams and they lost to every decent to good team in the Big 12. They lost to out-of-conference Penn State, Pitt, Iowa State, K-State, Baylor, and Texas Tech. They beat Albany, Kansas, Oklahoma State, Arizona, Cincinnati, and UCF. They did not beat a single team that got the bowl eligibility. And you can say, hey, we were technically, and they were technically like a 1% chance of getting to a Big 12 championship game going into the final week, which is crazy. But technically, they had a chance. So you're telling me there's a chance. But I'm telling you right now that Neil Brown was nothing but mediocre. These are the conference records for Neil Brown in the Big 12. Six seasons, 3-6, 4-4, 4-5. 3-6, 6-3, 5-4. And you could have justified bringing him back because you could have said, well, his best 2 years in the Big 12 came these past 2 years, 6-3 and 5-4. But if you watch and you follow West Virginia football, you knew the ship had sailed. You knew nothing was going to dramatically change. And that's the part that made this painful. I would imagine for Ren Baker, the AD, and a lot of decent West Virginia fans, even the loudmouths on X and social media who wanted him gone, you got to feel for the man and his young family. You can't not. Now, I know he's made millions and no one's going to, you know, be going hungry anytime soon in the Brown household, but that's not the point. It's not about necessarily just the money. The man did lose his job, okay? And for Neil Brown, now you've got to figure out, well, what's next for him? And more importantly for West Virginia, what's next for them? Let's get this out of the way. Nick Saban's not happening, okay? Let's just clear the air. Pat McAfee confirmed it's not happening. So Pat McAfee knows what's going on, but he did say that there's a chance, he teased this on social media, that Nick Saban would have interest in potentially helping turn West Virginia football around. And that would certainly be a step in the right direction. He did say a lot of people want that job. Now, there are names surfacing, like, you know, people have thrown out Bill Belichick's name. He commented on it on McAfee's show. Don't take that one seriously. Rich Rodriguez is kind of intriguing, a homecoming. Jimbo Fisher is a West Virginia guy, just like Nick Saban. Does he want to have the big homecoming hurrah? Frankly, from what I saw from Jimbo Fisher, the game had passed him by. The offense, his offense was so stale and so stuck in the early 2010s. I don't know what his want is in this NIL world. He had all the money in the world at A&M and couldn't make it work. So, frankly, Jimbo Fisher would win a press conference, but I'm not convinced Jimbo Fisher is the guy that's going to turn this thing around. I love the fact that one of the first names to come out of this conversation about West Virginia was Andy Koltunicki, the Penn State offensive coordinator. I love this possibility for West Virginia. Why? Well, he's coached under Lance Leipold for a decade. That's where he was. He was with Lance Leipold back to his D3 days. I mean, this guy's been around college football. He followed him all over the place. And now he's the Penn State offensive coordinator, and he's got that offense improved. He's a young guy at 43 years old. He's a Midwest dude. He now knows that part of the country well after being at Penn State for the last year. But he has been all over college football, every level, Wisconsin, Whitewater, Buffalo, Kansas. Really, a big reason that Kansas football is now relevant is what Andy Koltunicki was doing in Lawrence for three seasons before James Franklin called and said, come to Penn State. That's the kind of guy that may be a little under the radar, may not blow you away as a hire if you're a West Virginia fan, but has all the makings of somebody that knows what it takes to win when it comes to offensive scheming and offensive play calling, but also knows the modern game of college football and has seen it at some of the highest levels. He's seen, frankly, the greatest turnaround in college football this decade, if not this century, in KU. First-hand look at that with Lance Leipold. And now getting real blue blood experience and likely college football playoff experience with James Franklin. He'll be coaching in a Big Ten championship game this weekend. So, like, that is a great place to start if you're West Virginia. And if that's where they settle, then West Virginia fans should feel very good about it. I'm not saying it's where they will settle, but if it is where they settle, then that is a great hire for the Mountaineers. but let's kind of cross off some of the crazy names off the list. And I'm not even wild necessarily about Rich Rodriguez. I know that, you know, fans are going to long for the good old days. I get it. I do. But it's always treacherous to possibly think about going back to the ex-girlfriend. Or the ex-wife, maybe, is the better way to put it. You know that, and I know that. Okay? And I know Rich Rod has had success down there at Jacksonville State since he took over a couple of years back. But I'm just not willing to go down that road right now. If we get there, we'll cross that path, and we'll see how it plays out. But right now, I'm not going to do that. I won't. I'm Pete Mundo. We're Heartland College Sports. Thank you for joining us, as always, as a part of the show. We appreciate you being here, as always. Make sure you're subscribed to the channel as well. Good stuff all around. Can I spend a few minutes on UCF? They've got an opening as well. UCF is, of course, trying to replace Gus Malzahn. And the question now becomes, well, what do you do? Where do you go? Tulane head coach John Summerall's name has come up. We had our own Matthew Postens write about some of the options, maybe a Chip Kelly, a Rich Rodriguez. Like, I'd be more willing to take a chance on Rich Rod at UCF than I would be at West Virginia. I know that sounds weird, but trying to do the dance for a second time doesn't always work. You've got names like maybe, the Oregon defensive coordinator has come up, right? That's been a name that people have looked at as well. They're, of course, one of the top teams, if not the best team in the country right now. So there are a lot of options that UCF will have. It's a very good job with a growing alumni base, with great recruiting in a big-time conference. Gus Malzahn had talent. He just couldn't get it to work. Do you look to Jamie Chadwell, head coach at Liberty? You talk about, you know, ex-wives. Scott Frost's name has come up. I wouldn't go down that road, but I'm just saying the name has come up. So is that a direction that you want to look? G.J. Kinney, head coach at Texas State. He's got a contract extension, probably a long shot, but he worked at UCF under Gus Malzahn back in 2021, and, you know, he's had some good success as a head coach. Garrett Riley at Clemson. Is that a guy to keep an eye on? He's considered one of college football's rising stars in the coordinator ranks. So it's not as clear what UCF is. That job should have very good options for it as well. When you look at head coaching potential and guys to keep a very close eye on across college football, those are some of the names to watch. Are you guys giving me this in real time? Or are you messing with me on the chat? Let me see what we got here. All right. Now, some of you are throwing some things out there in the chat about Rich Rod. Don't do it. Okay. Someone was trying to screw with me. I had to do a quick search on this first. All right, guys. Well, I so appreciate you being here. I'm Pete Mundo. We are Heartland College Sports. Thank you as always. Subscribe. Some of you think you are, but you're not, on the podcast, Apple, Spotify, and right here, of course, on the YouTube channel as well. Have a great rest of your day. We'll be talking about the college football playoff rankings. It's Big 12 Championship Week. We still have a chance to get Brett Yormark on the show. So that's another reason that you want to be subscribed. We may have a huge guest lineup this week for Big 12 Championship Week. So make sure you keep it here. Join us for free on the Heartland College Sports forums as well. Go to the website, click on the forums tab. Great way to interact with fellow Big 12 fans. A bunch of you who are going to the game this weekend are talking about it already. So make sure you do that, and we'll talk to you soon. I'm Pete Mundo, HeartlandCollegeSports.com. Have a great day, and go Big 12.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
If you're a maintenance supervisor for a commercial property, you've had to deal with everything from leaky faucets to flickering light bulbs. But nothing's worse than that ancient boiler that's lived in the building since the day it was built, 50 years ago. It's enough to make anyone lose their cool. That's where Grainger comes in. With industrial-grade products and dependable fast delivery, Grainger can help with any challenge, from worn-out components to everyday necessities. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.